Kenny Evans. His weekly visit here on the show is always awesome. Danny, how are you?
I'm doing well, George, and one of your longtime friends told me to say hello to you and to Watson. Thomas Harding, he and I have just spent a couple of hours at a Sabre board meeting where we celebrated a 90th birthday of one of our members, a former Boston Braves and Milwaukee Braves left-handed pitcher, and Thomas asked me to pass along a hello to you.
You tell him hello right back. Best wishes.
I shall.
Whole group here saying it. Terry McCormick saying it as well.
Yeah. Yeah, good guy.
Awesome. Okay, you ready to get all the Oakland questions out there?
Let's go. I'm guessing you're talking tourism, like, you know, Bay Bridge prices. I'm ready. Let's go.
Okay. Your first reaction to this muddled, quote, solution that sounds like anything but a solution?
Well, you know, sometimes people move glacier-like until the deadline's involved. The deadline got involved. The city council came back with a 6-1 vote, which covers them. And you have to understand, George, I mean, listen, you know, this is a business world. They've already lost two franchises. They've lost a lot of revenue, a lot of tax base to other municipalities, and they're trying to do everything they can politically in a really difficult economic environment to retain the team. But I don't, you know, from everything I've read and I've seen, it looks like it's going to be an almost impossible bridge to mold and to make it work. And I've thought all along, Oakland's not going to stick. I think Oakland's going to relocate. As we said, remember we talked about this in spring training?
Oh, sure.
This really needs to get done before the labor agreement is ratified, simply because they need to have the franchises relocated that need to be relocated and then have expansions set up. And it would be ideal for the game and its economics well-being if Oakland either gets a new stadium or Oakland finds a new partner, and I still think it's going to be find a new partner.
Okay, I'm going to go with a bunch of different questions here, and this one's going to be totally out of left field. Obviously, we're sitting here in Nashville, and Nashville has probably put out more pub about trying to get an expansion franchise than any of them. They've tried to go glitz with Tony La Russa and Dave Stewart and Dave Dombrowski, none of whom give a damn about Nashville right now because they're all doing something else for another team. But nonetheless, that has gotten Nashville into a position to really get noticed. Now, I'm sitting here, Danny, saying, wait a minute. Everybody is saying it's simply Oakland going to Vegas, but I'm saying not so fast. Oakland had Nashville as their AAA affiliate for 4 or 5 years. They know this city better than anybody. Is there a scenario where MLB is telling the Oakland A's, you're either going to Vegas or nowhere, you're not going to Nashville and screw up, you know, divisional stuff? Tell me, give me some thoughts there.
Sure. I mean, there's another city involved, too. Portland is an absolute jewel, and Portland could be a terrific venue to play, a great location. So Portland's absolutely involved in this, too. You know, George, a lot of people have speculated, because of geographics, that for some reason everything left of the Mississippi is in play and everything to the right of the Mississippi is not. And that's a real simple situation where, you know, the owners get together and they redo the geographics, they redo the divisions. And as a result, you know, the leagues aren't really what they used to be. I mean, you used to have, you know, until the mid-90s, you had the integrity of the American National League schedules and you didn't have interleague play. Now we have interleague play. We do not have league presidents, so it's a little different. And I think if, in fact, Nashville were to secure a team that currently is on the West Coast, they would just tinker with the geographics in the next year or so. From a marketing standpoint, from a broadcasting standpoint, it doesn't make any sense to have a Nashville franchise on a West Coast division just because, I mean, the demographics alone don't work. The games are starting too late. It's not good for TV and radio. But I think personally that Major League Baseball is telling the Oakland ownership where they would, you know, you got to read the tea leaves. You got to know what's going on, where they would approve and where they wouldn't. And there's no doubt in my mind that between Nashville, Portland, Vegas, they would all get approved if they had a venue, if they had local support, and if they had an owner with capital who could make that team competitive on a long-range basis.
And the truth of it is, we here have no clue what level of local support we've got. Mm-hmm. As I have said on the air a couple of times now, we got a mayor in office that's a real wild card. This is not Phil Bredesen. This is not Carl Dean. Who on God's earth knows what John Cooper is thinking? So before everybody...
You know, George, just if you don't mind, I mean, no one's really stepped forward in the other two venues either when it comes to a major cash person. Major League Baseball has people standing in line wanting to be part of a team. I just think of Mark Antanasio when he bought the Milwaukee Brewers. You know, he was a Los Angeles guy and moved and has a presence in the Milwaukee area and has been a fabulous owner for the Milwaukee Brewers. So sometimes the ownership comes a little bit later, but the venue and the community support, I give the Nashville people credit. They send out regular emails,
yes,
of which I'm on a list, and they give you a lot of good information about demographics, and it helps me sway me as to the vibrancy of their effort.
So what's the next move here in this Oakland deal?
Well, I think there'll be a lot of negotiations between the Oakland A's hierarchy and the council members and the city. You know, this will be a pretty open air negotiations, simply because when politicians are involved, they're concerned about their reelection campaign. They're concerned about things on their record. And at the same time, the Athletics are in a situation where that ballpark just doesn't work. I mean, they had a crowd of 4,400 people a few weeks ago.
Yeah,
that
I saw
it. Work. I mean, it's blatantly not working there. And on the other side of the bay in San Francisco, they have one of the finest franchises in the game. So the A's are probably better to go somewhere else. It's not working where it is. So I think what you're going to see is some hardcore negotiations. They're both going to put their spin out. Major League Baseball is pressuring them to get something done. So I think what usually would be behind closed doors and not get out in the media, I think both sides will posture. Both sides will be out there indicating what they're trying to accomplish. I think it's going to be a really interesting situation because both sides have to spin it right or else they're going to labor on the whole thing.
If you were setting a deadline, if you were the commissioner of baseball and you were telling the city of Oakland, look, this is how much time you got. After that, we're out of here. What would that date be?
Interesting. You know, their lease is through the 27 season, which is, that's a lot of money, obviously. You know, to break that would be, and I mean, I think it's like a $400 million penalty.
Yeah.
So I think, George, what we have here, my feeling would be, where are you playing next year, number one? Are you playing in Oakland or are you playing in this other venue? And if it's the other venue, can that venue take on baseball in 22? Maybe it's 23. So I think those behind-the-scenes negotiations are going on right now. At the same time, I'm sure that the union and the leadership people with Major League Baseball have talked about what they need, you know, financial information as to how they would handle a temporary facility. If you think about it, both Vegas and Nashville have existing stadiums that could be utilized for a short-term situation. Portland could also use the Hillsborough Stadium up in the Gresham area. So they all have that. My feeling would be, I think it's best if it's done before the agreement is ratified. So I'd probably say around December 1st, that may be later than both sides are willing to go, because you can only stare at each other for so long. And I think this might be one of those cases where you lose ground and you also lose part of the bargaining position. And I think, you know, they both are in need of getting something done, but on terms that are acceptable for them.
Now, Danny, let's go to the one that Nashville seems more likely to be able to steal, and that's Tampa Bay.
Mm-hmm.
Are you surprised that Tampa has not, you know, publicly said, we're looking at moving, the commissioner has given us the go-ahead? Are they waiting for this Oakland thing to be over?
You know, George, that might be orchestrated and choreographed in the background by various parties, whether it's Major League Baseball or Tampa Bay. It's just not working in Tampa Bay. The ballpark's in the wrong area. It shouldn't be in St. Pete. It should be in Tampa. Remember, George, I was with the White Sox back in 86 when we were about to leave. We were about 3 minutes away from becoming the Tampa White Sox.
Yeah.
In fact, I have a T-shirt, which is one of my favorite T-shirts. It's a Tampa White Sox T-shirt. But in this case, I think what you have is a situation where they're probably sitting back and seeing how this plays out. You know, in both Tampa and Oakland's scenario, they need to get fixed. I mean, they are really struggling because their stadium, because of their lease agreements. They have a very different situation than the other 28 teams. And I think what's great for Nashville is Nashville now is obvious going to secure one of the next four franchises. They're either going to be one of the relocated, or they're going to be one of the expansion franchises that'll come in the next labor agreement. And I think it's very clear now that the Music City is going to have Big League Baseball this decade. We just don't know what flavor it would be.
Yeah.
You know, different fans, different people have opinions. Would it be better to start from scratch? Would it be better to inherit? Everybody has their own viewpoint on that. But for me, you know, such a vibrant city with great demographics and a passion for baseball, you know, whether you get an expansion team or whether you get a relocated team, I think the franchise is going to thrive.
Okay, Danny, I'm about to go to the break in a minute. Do you realize you and I did a full segment and I never brought up the ATL?
Yeah, I'm kind of in shock. The building I'm in is kind of reverbing, but I'm guessing that'll come in after the break.
Terry, what was your thought on that?
Well, George, I saw your team this week, so I already have my information. Yeah. It's based on one game.
There's nothing to talk about. Our bullpen sucks. Oh, gosh. Anyway, I knew Danny would have great info on this, and I wanted to get all of that out there at the beginning. Watson and Terry will go at it with Danny after the break. You're listening to the Plaster Radio Network, and you're going to hear a little bit of music on the way out.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-668-0042. 800-668-0042. 800-668-0042. That's 800-668-0042. The real estate market is always tough, but this market, it's unlike anything we've ever seen. When the average home stays on the market just 24 days and houses routinely go for more than the listing price, who you work with matters. Realtors have the expertise, local knowledge, and personal touch to give you a competitive advantage throughout the entire home buying process. And that's something an ordinary agent could never do. So make sure your agent is a Realtor. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors. That's who we are.
If you're looking to turn the corner in 2021 in a new job with a family-owned business that believes the best way to serve customers is by taking care of its employees first, let me tell you about Goggin Cold Haul. Goggin Cold Haul operates within a 500-mile radius of its Smyrna base and seeks professional drivers to join its team with a $1,000 sign-on bonus. There's weekly home time with no northeast travel and no-touch freight with our late-model Freightliner and Kenworth trucks. A new beginning awaits you in 2021 at Goggin Cold Haul, the coldest team in town.
With the weather getting warmer, I think about golf. Even though my golf game isn't that great, and I want to throw an option out there that you may not have thought of in a while. Riverside Golf Links at 640 Old Hickory Boulevard. With new ownership, the golf course has improved dramatically. The greens look awesome. There are 27 holes, 9 of which are an executive course for beginners and juniors. So the other 18 holes have great bunkers. It's fun, it's relaxing. The pace of play will allow you to get 18 holes in 4 hours or less. So let me give you a couple of other particulars. A brand new grill, a stocked pro shop, and improved practice facilities. Great fun, great way to entertain yourself. Dial them up for a tee time, 847-5074, or go online, riversidegolflinks.com.
Introducing new Kraft sandwiches at Slim Chickens. Try our Chicken Club sandwich with crispy bacon and cheese, the Cayenne Ranch sandwich with fried onions and Cayenne Ranch mayo, the Buffalo Ranch sandwich that's tossed in spicy buffalo sauce, or the crispy chicken sandwich, which is anything but basic. Slim's lineup of four Kraft sandwiches. The choice is yours. Whether you're driving through, ordering online, or pulling up curbside, Slim's has you covered.
With three locations in Murfreesboro, Mount Juliet, and Hendersonville.
Get all your NASCAR news every weekday right here on The Final Lap. Hey, it's Kerry Murphy, and Eric Almirola upends the NASCAR playoff system by winning at New Hampshire this past weekend. Up next, they've got a couple of weeks off because of the Olympics, but you can still grab all your NASCAR news, driver interviews, stats, and info every single weekday right here.
Hi, I'm Eric Almirola, and you are listening to The Final Lap with Kerry Murphy.
We are doing video now. Check us out at youtube.com/TheFinalLap every single weekday right here.
You're listening to The George Plaster Show on WNSR Nashville Sports Radio.
3:23 is the time. Danny Evans, former Dodger general manager, on the line with us for his weekly visit. Before I turn it over to Watson, Danny, I want to make sure that I heard something correct that you said earlier. And I think you said Nashville will absolutely have a Major League Baseball team by the end of the decade.
George, obviously it's not my control, but I think all indications indicate that Nashville's going to have one of the next four franchises, either a relocated franchise or an expansion team, and I think it's a really strong possibility.
Do our odds go up if Oakland moves to Vegas?
Yes. Yeah, they would. Oakland moves to Vegas. Oakland moves to Portland. Yes. You know, there's some geographics involved, so it is a little simpler for them to move to those two venues. But I think with the Nashville, task at hand has been to display that Nashville is a relevant town and to educate people of Nashville's, you know, I would say positives. One of the things that baseball has is an awareness of Nashville because of hosting the winter meetings every 3 to 5 years. And that does help in this situation because people view it as a major league city.
Watson, your witness.
You always know I throw one at you early, Danny, just because I'm kind of weird.
Yeah, I don't sit on the fastball with you, Watson. It can always be a breaking ball. Here it comes.
I was sitting here listening to you and George talk, and I was saying to myself, because I grew up, wherever the A's go, and they're the first, and there's going to be more, there's going to be a stadium built. And I've wondered if we're talking about hitting is down, pitching is up. If you're going to build a stadium today, how do you build that stadium? These beautiful places they're building, like Atlanta, all these places are fan-friendly, and they're fantastic. They're beautiful. But I don't know if there's personality between the bases. I think of the old Yankee Stadium with right field the way it was. I think of Fenway Park still today. I think of the Ivy out in Wrigley Field, and all of these personality old places, these new places are all seem to me to be exactly alike. If you were going to build one for the A's, would you think anything about that, or am I absolutely off my rocker?
Well, Watson, I tell you what, I'm a block away from Coors Field right now. And I think about Denver 25 years ago and how this section of Lodo was decrepit. It was all beat up. It was a really tough part of town. They built Coors Field, and it rejuvenated downtown.
Yeah.
Our Sabre meeting this afternoon, we had about 50 people for our meeting, and there's no way we'd had 50 people if it wasn't located where it was, because business people can go and whatnot. My thoughts, Watson, are this. When you build a ballpark in 2021 and forward, you've got to have a long-range vision for what the demographics look like in the community and where the people will be. Number one, I think you should always be as close to the downtown business hub as you can, because then businesses can entertain at the venue, and it's easier for them to justify buying a suite, making a huge commitment, because they will have people in the seats, people at the ballpark. Number two, you know, Watson, I know how close you follow the game. A lot of the ballparks that have been built in the last 25, 30 years were built big, and they downsized them. They made them a more, I would say, kind of a more crowd-friendly environment, where they tightened up the dimensions. They brought the fans closer to the environment, because fans today don't want to be distanced from the players, from the field, because that spacing is something that just doesn't work in today's current time. So I think you've got to have a tighter environment. I don't think you build a stadium that's ginormous like the Dodgers right now. You would never build a 55,000-seat stadium in today's world. You'd build 40 to 45, make it a tougher ticket, make it so it doesn't look empty. And the last thing, and Watson, I'll tell you what, this for me is just a transformation of maybe the last 10 years. I think it should be an offensive ballpark. Yeah. People come to see runs scored. They come to see the long ball. And I think what you would see is, if you made it a hitter-friendly environment, you would not only be able to bring more fans to the ballpark, but you'd be able to hide some of your offensive inefficiencies with a more offensive-oriented park.
Boy, I 100% agree with that, Danny. I would give it something to where it is offensive-oriented, because that's what I think the fans want to see. And honestly, Danny, I don't see the pitching going down. I see the pitching just going to keep getting better in years to come. And
I agree.
So I think you've got to come up with ways as you build these places to let it balance itself out. There's a lot of ways in football where you can keep the offense going with different rules and things. It's harder in baseball. It's much harder. We've talked with you about not letting them do these overshifts on defense, things like that. To me, Major League Baseball needs to think in those ways. They've got to keep the game. We think of the old Bronx Bombers. We think of the big red machine. It was offense, Danny. It was offense. I think it's time now for Major League Baseball to think that way.
Well, and they haven't thought that way, and I was among them for the longest time, where we just all felt that if we had a competitive team, people would come to the game. But there are more options in 2021 than there's ever been. And you need to give people a reason to spend their money at your venue. Be a fan of your team. I was sitting next to somebody today at our Sabre lunch, and she said to me, she's a business leader, and she said, I love that I can work a little late on game days and just walk from my office to my season tickets here at Coors Field. And I thought to myself, that is exactly what the business leaders of a community will do if given the option. And she said, you know, I bring prospective clients. I bring people. I use it as a tool to market my company, to brand us, to spend some downtime with somebody. And you know, Watson, when you're not right in the middle of the community, it's hard because once people get in the car to head home, to head on with the rest of their day, then they suddenly have options. Parking becomes a big deal. If you only have to walk to the venue, man, that's a really good situation.
Boy, I couldn't agree with you more. And I just brought that up, and because there's going to be stadiums built here, and all the things you said are perfect thoughts to me. And I hope they use all of those as they build these places.
Well, and Watson, think about you recruiting all those years. Yeah. What do you sell the families and the players on? The environment that they spend the bulk of their time.
Yep.
And if you build a venue that is near kind of the hub of the city, where the city's business leaders can migrate, where tourists can enjoy the city and the sports venue at night. I mean, the All-Star game last Tuesday was amazing. It was incredible. I had such a great time. So many people from all over the world attending that game, but they were also enjoying my area, Denver and Boulder, and they were having a great time. Guy sitting behind me said he parked his car at 8:30 in the morning, spent the entire day plus the game, and never had to move his car. You know, there's a lot of appeal right there.
My second thing, Danny, to you would be, we would sit here back with the Preds and had this conversation many times. It got to that buy-sell time. And the Preds were sitting right where the Braves are. I mean, it's very similar to the same situation. The Preds did not sell, and they stuck with it, and they ended up getting in the playoffs. Now, they lost quick, but they made the run and got in. Do you think the Braves are going to do the same exact thing, or do you think they'll start to sell?
Watson, good question. One of the hardest decisions I've made in my career is that very question. So it's terrific. And for all the listeners, and congratulations to you guys for adding those affiliates. That's wonderful. For the people who are the decision makers in the front office, the real decision makers, their toughest task right now is the next 10 days dictate their next 3 months. Are we in or are we out? And some people accuse, you know, people of, oh, you know, they're just trying to sell tickets, saying they're in. Oh, heck no. It's your assets. It's where you are as a franchise. Do I move somebody to get players back, perhaps save some money and build for 22 and beyond? Or do I think my club's pretty good? Watson, my answer today is different than it was 2 weeks ago. I think with DeGrom's injury, and with the Mets still sputtering offensively, the Braves, I think, and I said this to George in a text earlier this week, I think the Braves have a shot. And I think the Braves have a definite shot. And I think Alex Anthopoulos is probably looking at, you know, it's really hard. And you know this, Watson, you were down on the field with those guys. It is hard to make a black and white decision about a team when a team environment is so fluid and it's so unpredictable. So right now they have to decide, are we going to have a happy ending if I don't do anything? Or if I do some things, could we get in and perhaps take a run at the postseason? Or do I feel no matter what happens, we're likely not to make it, and then take some of our assets and sell them off and get better quicker in 22 and 23. That is not an easy call. Were I them, I think I would take the same route that Alex has taken recently, which is a couple of small deals, get the team better. You know, you can't replace a player as great as Acuña. He's irreplaceable. He's an extraordinary talent. He's an exceptional leadoff man and one of the game's best players. So you can't expect to replace him. But if you add in other parts, it makes replacing him a little bit better. So I think they're going to roll the dice, and I think they're going to go for it. But I don't think they're going to do anything that completely mortgages their future, because when their club is intact and healthy, they're going to be a very good baseball team.
And have I got time for one more, George?
Yes.
Okay. Which one of the teams, Danny, do you think, between the Braves, the Nationals, and the Phillies, which one will make the run at the Mets, in your personal opinion?
Danny, got about a minute and a half.
Okay. Were I the Mets, I would be the most aggressive first-year owner. I think you've got to be aggressive. You don't know DeGrom's status. You've got a little bit of a honeymoon period right now. It's a good time to buy. I think what you're going to see is the Nationals be aggressive because it's Scherzer's last year in his contract. They have a couple other free agents. I think what you're going to see is all those teams be a moderately aggressive moment. But if I were the Mets, I'd make sure I did everything I could, because I think if all things are equal, I think the Mets win the division.
George?
That's some interesting stuff I just got through hearing. Terry, jump in here for a second.
All right.
I still think the first answer is that you got to go to Freddie Freeman's agent and find out what is really what.
I agree. But don't you think that in getting Jock Peterson and Stephen Vogt and giving up first base prospects to get those two, isn't that sending a message to Freddie Freeman that you want to keep him?
Well, it sure seems like it. But anyway, we'll figure all this out. Where are you going with Danny?
Oh, we're going a couple of different places.
Okay.
We'll go to the big ball yard in the Bronx, of course.
Oh, yes. The only place that's the stadium.
And then we're going to go out west and talk about a team that doesn't get talked about a lot.
Who would that be?
We will talk Seattle Mariners.
You know what? Very quietly, they've gotten pretty good.
Absolutely.
Okay, so all of that and more coming up next. Danny Evans, former Dodger general manager, on the line with us. This is the Plaster Radio Network.
Now that 2020 is behind us, let's make 2021 the most relaxing year. Mokara Salon and Spa is located on the fourth floor of the Omni Nashville Hotel. And Mokara Salon and Spa offers a full-service spa experience. Relax in the comfort of the signature Mokara Spa as you're pampered with the ultimate spa experience. Make time for a soothing facial, massage, manicure, or pedicure as you rejuvenate in this refined, quiet oasis. Your treatment begins in the exquisite relaxation room. And whether you're enjoying a signature body treatment or just visiting the salon, you are sure to enjoy every minute of Mokara Salon and Spa. Open Friday through Sunday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. To make an appointment, call 615-761-3600. Mokara Salon and Spa, relaxing you in 2021. Located on the fourth floor of the Omni Nashville Hotel, Fifth Avenue downtown.
Hi, I'm Marcus Scribner. The way we treat others affects us all, and that includes the way we treat animals. Cruel treatment of animals overseas led to the pandemic crisis, killing a million people worldwide. Environmental destruction, pollution, and poaching have killed endangered wild species. Our world today is a poorer place for people to live and inhumane for both people and animals. To fight back, American Humane created a 10-point plan to help animals, people, and the world we share. From ending the dog and cat meat trade to universal humane standards for farms, zoos, entertainment, and animal transport. Together we can make a difference. Join the fight for our animal friends. Go to AmericanHumane.org today and sign our new deal for animals. For a kinder, safer, and healthier world. for all of us.
Thinking about buying a home or refinancing? Lori Burnett Leland at MortgageLadyUSA.com can help. Listen to what other folks are saying about their experience. John in Birmingham says, quote, Lori helped me walk through each stage of the loan process and ensured I was comfortable with every step we made. She shared her wealth of knowledge and fielded all of my questions regarding my very first home purchase. She's the best. With the power of USA Lending behind her, and over 50 different bank options, Lori Burnett Leland wants to be your mortgage lady. Call her today at 615-969-4350 or visit MortgageLadyUSA.com. Equal housing opportunity, One Vantage Way, Nashville, Tennessee, NMLS number 1088591 and 45370. Licensed in Tennessee, Alabama, and Georgia.
On the battlefield, there's a saying America's military men and women live by. Never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Off the battlefield, Wounded Warrior Project operates with the same goal. Wounded Warrior Project was created to help our men and women returning home with the scars of war, whether those scars are physical or mental. Wounded Warrior Project. We never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Learn more about what we do at WoundedWarriorProject.org.
He's back and we've got him. The George Plaster Show.
Hold on, who is that person?
That was me. Over the bag of Cheetos.
Terry, how long have you been on radio in this market? At what moment do you think when you're doing a live bid, it's okay to open Cheetos on the air?
What in the hell?
Live, local, George Plaster. Weekdays starting at 2 on WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
.342, final segment with former Dodger general manager Danny Evans, who joins us for his weekly Thursday visit. Terry McCormick will be asking questions about the Seattle Pilots.
Jim Boughton and...
Yeah, and Leningrad Stadium.
Yes.
Yankee Stadium.
Yes. Danny, we'll...
The stadium.
We'll start on the East Coast there with my Yankees. Obviously, the COVID thing has knocked a bunch of guys out of their lineup, including Judge and Urshela, and a big part of their offense. But I like what they've done with guys like Greg Allen and Estevan Florial that I had no idea even existed. And all of a sudden, they're playing a little small ball and stealing bases and hitting and running and doing things that I thought baseball left behind 10 or 15 years ago. It's good to see a little of that come back.
You know what, Terry? Their farm system has saved them. It has saved them. They lose some key people. They struggled for an extended period. There was a point about 3 weeks ago that a lot of us thought they might be dead. And I think what we're seeing is their player development, their international and domestic signings have kept them in the race during a very difficult period. And I think it's a real testimony. And I think what you're going to see is Brian Cashman is one of the best general managers in the game. And I think he's going to do all he can because he can see that the American League race is up for grabs. I think, you know, Boston and Tampa Bay are the elite teams in that division, but there's a wild card team in that group. And there's another one out there, and I don't think it's going to be the Central. I think it's going to be tough to be a Western Division team. So I think, you know, you'll see the Yankees be very aggressive in this case.
And then let's talk just a little bit about the Mariners. They've kind of come out of nowhere to creep into not only the wild card race, but they're right there on the periphery of the AL West. I looked at their numbers, and other than Haniger, I didn't see anybody's stats that jumped off the page at me, pitching-wise or hitting-wise. How in the world are they piecing this together and making a run here?
Terry, great observation. I think they're as under the radar as any team in the game. They're very quietly lurking. You know, they're not elite, and they're ahead of themselves for about a year. They have some really good players down below, Terry, that really can't come and help them right now. They might surface in September, most certainly in 22. I quietly root for them. I have five seasons working for them. My favorite city in North America, a really terrific general manager in Jerry Tipoto, somebody I've known forever, and I love him. He's just a good guy. He's done a really good job with a sum-of-the-parts recipe. As you said, no real elite standout guy leading the way, but their pitching's been a little better than they thought. Kikuchi, who I loved when I saw him over in Japan, has turned out to be everything that I expected he was going to be, which is very rare. I mean, most guys don't reach their expectations, but they've done it very quietly, and I wouldn't be surprised if they did some things at the deadline, because they have a farm system with a lot of really solid prospects. They could tweak some things, they could take on some money, and as a result, they could be a pretty good club.
Okay, I'm going to throw you a little bit of a Watson-type curveball here, Danny. American League MVP, we've pretty much handed it off to Shohei Ohtani because of his heroics both on the mound and hitting home runs at the plate. But if Vlad Guerrero Jr. wins the Triple Crown in the American League, is he going to get the MVP over Shohei?
Wow, two guys that I absolutely love as human beings, scouted like crazy and helped sign Vladdy. I think Ohtani over Vlad, just because what he's doing is so remarkable. And I think the value of a number one starter and an elite power hitter, an elite all-round player, is such an extraordinary team-focused guy that I would go to Ohtani over Vladdy. But I'll tell you what, Vladdy at a young age really did some great things in the offseason, Jared, got himself in incredible shape, lost about 30 pounds. And what we're seeing is the beginning of excellence. I mean, I remember when we signed him in Toronto and people got on us about how much we spent for him. And we, as a group, the insiders, we knew that what we paid, we knew we were getting an incredible player. You know, the hardest thing about the most valuable player situation, Ter, is what's your definition of it? Is it the best guy on the best team, or is it the guy who truly was the most valuable? I tend to go with the literal, not the figurative. And for me, Ohtani is unmatched in the last 100-plus years, and that's why I would vote for him.
Here's the interesting question, though, Terry, that comes out of that. Has a Triple Crown winner ever not been the most valuable player?
Ted Williams, yeah. 1941. Joe exactly. DiMaggio's 56-game hitting streak, one out.
Exactly right. Terry and I in a trivia contest would be dangerous, but that's exactly right. Triple Crown winner and did not win the MVP award.
Okay, Danny, you stay out of this one because this is designed to make Terry look bad.
Okay.
You ready?
Is the answer Roland Offis?
No, it is not. No, it is not.
Wow, there's a name from the past.
Yes. And Watson, you're eligible as well.
Oh, thank you.
Okay.
Just go for Terry.
So we know that Joe DiMaggio had a 56-game hitting streak in his Major League Baseball world. We also know that, gosh, in our lifetime, the only guy that's ever even remotely gotten close was Pete Rose, 44 games in 1978. We really haven't had a lot of people get past 35 over the years. Terry, what is Joe DiMaggio's longest hitting streak in the minor leagues?
Ooh. I think,
and you know it, don't you, Danny?
I think he had one longer. I think I've read this before, like 61 games or something like that.
Watson, what do you think?
I have no clue. I'm anxious to hear, though.
Danny?
66, am I right, with the San Francisco Seals?
I heard over the weekend it was 61. But you know the beauty of this? This is a great show because we don't let facts get in the way of a good story.
I knew it. I know it's in the 60s, and it was when he was PCL feel, and he was like a 19 or 20-year-old kid.
First of all,
numbers during that streak were actually better than his numbers during 56-game streak. 56-game streak, he only hit 345. And I think that year he won the batting title in the league. But here's a situation where, you know, this guy had two streaks of 50 games or more. That's ridiculous.
It's crazy. And think about it. You couldn't have a 60-game hitting streak on the minor league. You would be so on a major league roster by then, it wouldn't even be funny.
Well, and you know what, George? We're never going to see it at the big league level again, simply because you're seeing four pitchers a game.
Yeah.
So it's just a different situation. I mean, it's just, I think it's harder than ever to hit. And I think with the media scrutiny, I don't think anyone will ever reach that record.
Yeah. I'm with you. It's one of those never to be broken again. But for those of us who are old enough, when Pete Rose got to around 35, man, that got to be a lot of fun. That was a blast. Danny, thanks as always. Good stuff.
Always good. And George, congratulations on adding those affiliates. And for all those listeners, thanks for joining us on a Thursday afternoon.
Absolutely, Danny. And all I can tell you is there are more coming.
I love it.
Well, talk to you.
Guys, have a good day.